Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight, and praise the Lord for the testimonies. It's good to see our young people having spiritual desires, and camp makes a difference. And so praise the Lord for the Christian camp for our juniors, and now this next week, our high schoolers. I think they're taking some 50 teenagers down. So praise the Lord for the good group going to a summer camp. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Judges in chapter 2, we started a month or so ago, six weeks, on studying the Word of God and understanding the divisions of the Bible. We need to understand that the Bible is God's holy Word, and we need to live by it, need to love it, live by it, and apply it to our lives. It's just to learn from it, to all the different things that we have from the Word of God. And so we wanted to make sure that we have a good understanding of how the Bible is put together, if you will, and how we have it for this New Testament church age. And so as we look into the first five books of the Old Testament, it's called the Pentateuch, or the Law. That was the Law of Moses. And we studied the history of Israel as they were under the Pentateuch, and as they had that underneath the leadership of Moses. And now we find that we go into the next division. The second division of the Bible is the historical books of the Bible, of the Old Testament. Now, they give us a storyline, the history of the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. And what happened to Israel is for our learning, and it's for our admonishing. It's for us to learn the biblical principles, because we serve the same God today. Now, they were under a different set of guidelines. They were under the law, the Old Testament law, but same God. And people are the same as well. We all have a sin nature. And so as we learn from the nation of Israel and the different events and all the things that took place, and we can learn those biblical principles that still apply today. Biblical principles never change. Truth never changes. If it was truth a million years ago, it'll continue to be truth a million years from now. Truth never changes. And biblical principles are truths that never change. And so once you learn one, you can just mark it down. It'll never change. And so live by that biblical principle. Every time you learn a new biblical principle, establish it in your life and live by it. And so we have the next division is historical. It's a book of the histories. 12 books in this division, including the book of Ruth. Okay. And so, but there's 12 books, and it starts with the book of Joshua, and then the second book would be Judges. Now, we're going to read here in the book of Judges, so stand with me. And we're going to be now, again, the nation of Israel went through the wilderness and the Old Testament, and 40 years after they failed to go into the promised land the first time, and so led by Moses through the wilderness wanderings, now they come back to the threshold of the promised land, and it would be Joshua that would lead them into the land, which is the first book of the history, okay, after the Pentateuch, and carrying on the history, the storyline of Israel, is Israel going into the land of Canaan, or the promised land, okay? And so Judges would be continues on the history. It would be the book of Joshua covers about 27 years. The book of Judges covers about 300 years, okay? And so the book of Joshua, first 20 years conquering the land and then living in the land for 300 years. And that's what we'll study as we go through the book of Judges. But this is what takes place in that period of time in Israel. Judges chapter 2, let's start reading in verse 1. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Talking about Israel. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you, we thank you again for the opportunity to be in church tonight. And then for all those that are here that made the decision to come. And we pray, God, that you would bless that decision. as we've already been blessed by being in this place. But now as we open up your word, we study it and we hear it preached, I pray, God, that you would help us to learn from it and be strengthened by it. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. As you go through the book of Joshua, Joshua is a book that rings with the shouts of victory. It's a very exciting book of the Bible. It covers about 27 years, claiming the promised land. Now, we're not in the book of Joshua tonight because starting Wednesday night, we are going to be starting a new series. We just finished the life of Elijah and then the life of Elisha. We're going to go back and we're going to look at the life of Joshua. And so on Wednesday nights, we'll be going through, and it's a Bible study on the book of Joshua, studying the man Joshua. And there's so much we can learn from the man Joshua and all the events that God has recorded concerning this man Joshua, this great man of God. And so starting Wednesday night, we'll be going into and looking at the man Joshua and then studying the life of Joshua this Wednesday night in our Bible study. And so as we connect that, now again, there's 27 years is what it takes, and that's the history through the book of Joshua, through the life of Joshua, and taking them into the promised land and conquering the land, possessing the land of Canaan. Judges, however, it's somewhat different. It sounds of defeat. As we look in the book of Judges, this is after Joshua has passed off the scene. Judges chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, as we read here tonight, Israel's failure to possess the land as per God's command. They're in the land, and they're enjoying the blessings of the promised land, but they limited themselves because they didn't follow through and do all that God told them to do in possessing the land of Canaan. They did not utterly destroy and run out the other inhabitants and the gods of the inhabitants. And so we find here, as we just read that, God said, this is what I told you to do, and you failed to do it. And because you failed to do it, he says, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? He gets them to question themselves. Why in the world would you not obey God and finish doing what God has commanded you to do? And again, as we preach on this morning, who knows why people do what they do? And we're going to find that it is repetitive, and it's all based upon a sin nature, the sin nature of man. But he says, why have you done this? But you have not obeyed my voice. Wherefore, I also said, now, he says, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you because of what they did and their failures to completely do what God told them to do. They're going to suffer the consequences of that, basically. And it came to pass when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel that the people lifted up their voice and they wept because they realized now the consequences and it was too late. They couldn't go back and undo what had already been done. And they wept over their failures in possessing the promised land. Judges chapter 2, verses 16 down to verse 19, it reveals to us a recycling of sin due to the evil influences, the sinful nature. It's a recycling. As you go through the book of Judges, you're going to find that this is something that happens, that continues to reoccur in the life of Israel. But let's read here in verse 16. In verse 16, it says, nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. That's what the judges is all about. God would send them deliverers, and they would judge, and they would deliver Israel. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but in obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers. In following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them, they ceased not from their own doings nor from their stubborn ways. So in the next 330 years, And that's what we have, the history of the book of Joshua and then Judges. The mentality of the people in between their judges is what you have this continuing. It's what this the book of Judges continues to reveal to us and understand, helping us to understand certain things. As they continued in between their judges, the idea, the cycle would be that God would send the judge would lead the people to righteousness, the judge would die, he's going to die. After he would die, the people would forget what he had taught them, as they did Joshua. They would turn from God. Then as they would turn from God, then God judges sin, the sins of his people. There is a judgment upon the sins of God's people when God's people turn away from doing what God has for them to do. The people then, once now they're under this judgment and this oppression of the other nations and the gods of the other nations. And once they get to that place and the people repent and they cry out to the Almighty. They cry out to and want delivered from this kind of lifestyle and this kind of world. And God then would send another judge to deliver them. And it would cycle. As long as the judge was alive, then Israel would follow that judge, and we find that they would get back to serving God. And when they served God, God would bless them, and there was nobody could stand up to the nation of Israel when the nation of Israel was walking with God. As long as they had the judges there and they were following the lead, then they would be a powerful nation, but then the judge would die. And they would follow the very same cycle. They would forget what the judge taught them. One generation to the next. Now, 300 years. That didn't happen just in months. It was a time period of 300 years. And the people, the next generation, every time the next generation, the next, their children, they would fail to do what God would have them to do, and they would actually then turn into a deeper sin than what their forefathers were in. And it would just cycle. The mentality of the people in between the judges is found there in chapter 2 and verse 19. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves. That was somewhat what was taking place. Now, chapter 17 and verse 6 says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Well, they didn't have that visual. We didn't have the influence of that judge to look to and to follow after. When he was gone, and then the next generation did not know that judge, then the next generation would, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So there's two different things. As we go through the book of Joshua, and we'll have more of the victory, and that's what we study on Wednesday nights, but then we get into the 300 years of history in the book of Judges. We don't have time to go through every one. That's not what we're doing. We're trying to give you a better understanding of the divisions of the Bible. And so the next 330 years, this is what was taking place with the nation of Israel. And God would have us to learn from that. And so what God would have this church age to learn from this period of time in the history of Israel is the sinful nature of man is the same. For 300 years, they continued to make the same mistakes. It was a cycle. As long as the judge was there in the presence of God, they did this. But as soon as that judge fell off, this is what they did. And because they did this, then they forced the hand of God, because God is a just God. And he will judge sin, the sins of his people. And so they forced the hand of God, and there would be a judgment. God would allow the other nations to rise up against them. They would defeat Israel. Now Israel would be in bondage and servitude and all the things that were going on. And then God's mercy and God's grace and God's long-suffering. And so when the people would cry out, then God would deliver them once again. Amen. Praise the Lord for forgiveness. Praise the Lord for a second chance, a third chance, a fourth. You see, as you read the book of Judges, you'll see what an amazing God. How long-suffering. All he wants is a people to look to him. And when they look to him and repent of their sins, he is faithful and just to forgive them their sins and cleanse them from all unrighteousness and restore them to right fellowship. New Testament church age, we're to learn that. We are to learn these biblical principles of the Old Testament, the sinful nature of man is the same. We must choose to follow God's design in every generation. Our generation here and the baby boomers and all the different things taking place and the next millennials and on and on and on and whatever names they give every generation. But every generation will choose how they're going to live their lives. Choices. That's why we have a free will. As great as God is, God will not force us to make a right decision. He will not stand in our way of making a wrong decision. He allows us that free will. The free will of man, biblical truths, biblical truths. But because he has given us insight, he has given us his word so that we can know the very mind of God. We can know what pleases God and we can know what God judges. Because we have that, we're without excuse. And everyone will give an account of themselves because everyone makes their own decisions. Can't blame it on somebody else. Now, I say this quite often. You hear it's something that we need to understand. There's never an excuse for wrong behavior. But there's always reasons why people behave wrongly. Never an excuse for a teenager or a child to do wrong. But a lot of times they do it because they're allowed to do it. There's always a reason why they do it. They've learned how to get over on mom and dad. They've learned how to get their way. But they're not going to stand before God and say, well, it's because of my parents. They'll stand before God and give an account for what they chose to do. Now, I love the idea that eliminating certain choices. Life is all about choices. And for myself, it helps to eliminate certain choices. When it comes to God, God made me a man. So I accept the role of a man. And that eliminates me from having to make choices. Amen? I guarantee you, you'll never see this preacher with a pink shirt on. Don't have to worry about it. That's me. You might enjoy pink shirts, but for me, I do not want to wear a pink shirt. I'm just not going to do it, so it eliminates choices. If you buy me a pink shirt, it's being thrown away. I give it to my wife, and she might wear it, but I am not going to wear that pink shirt. It eliminates choices. As a man, I will not have long hair. How long is too long? I don't know. You got to make that decision yourself, but it's a shame for a man to have long hair because God made you a man. You need to look like a man and act like a man. And so as a man, I've eliminated that. I will always have haircuts. Amen. So as a man, I've eliminated certain choices. I don't have to worry about making those choices. As a married man, I'm not going to visit the singles websites. I'm not going to do it. I don't need to do it. Why? I'm married. It helped many married men to realize to just accept the fact that you're married and stop trying to act like a single man. And making decisions on what you're going to do. As a single man, you're not single, you're married, so that limits you in what decisions you need to make in that area of life. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. I've already made my mind up on certain things like that. I don't have to make those decisions. I've already predetermined. As a father, I am a role model for my children. I accept that responsibility, and because I have a love for my children and my grandchildren, I accept that responsibility, and I will always be responsible as a role model for my children. Every parent in here needs to already make that decision. I'm not going to do anything that would not be a good example for my children to learn from. Throw a lot of those choices you have to make out the window. I've already decided by principle, I've made the decision that I'm going to and accept the fact that I'm a role model to my children. I don't need to just tell them what to do. I need to lead them in what's right to do. Yeah. Praise the Lord for that. As a Christian man, I'm not going to question whether I'm going to be in church. If I'm able to be in church, I'm going to be in church. That eliminates me having that decision Saturday night or Sunday morning. Amen. Now, I know I'm the pastor, but still yet. As a Christian, before I ever became a pastor, when I committed my life to serving God, before He called me, before He placed me in the ministry, I had already made that decision. When I committed my life to Christ as a Christian man, I made it a decision that I would never question whether I'm going to go to church. I'm going to go to church. If I'm physically able to go, I'm going to go to church. If certain things, tithing. I've already studied the Bible. I know it's God's will for New Testament Christianity for me to give a tenth of my tithe. I am going to tithe. I'm not going to question that at any point. I don't have to make that decision. Those decisions have already been made. I'm going to just do that. That eliminates a lot of sinful possibilities if you just establish that fact, those facts that I've just gone through. Because life is all about choices. Israel just continued to make choices. The thing of it is, people are apt to sin. As we study the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, even after seeing all that they saw, after him being delivered from Egyptian bondage, being fed manna from the desert, water out of a rock, the parting of the Red Sea, the parting of the Jordan River, the cloud that they represented God the whole time they were in the wilderness during the day, and the fire at night, and the miracles that they saw God perform, they were still apt to sin. Because we all have a sin nature. That hadn't changed. Old Testament to New Testament, mankind is the same. People are apt to sin. And what we find here as well, the judges made a difference. Every time. When God sent a deliverer, the deliverer made a difference. Judges chapter 3. These are things you're going to learn as you go through the book of Joshua and Judges. This is just a repetitive type of thing. And every time you read it, it reinforces these principles that I'm giving you here tonight. Judges in chapter 3 and verse 9. This is the first judge, if you will, Othniel. The Bible says, "And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel, and went out to war. And the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishamatha, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed against Cushan-Rishathaim. But this is what I want you to see. Verse 11. And the land had rest 40 years. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. For 40 years, because they had a judge and they had someone to look to and they had a proper example of a godly leader, for 40 years, Israel had peace and rest. It just didn't happen overnight. For 40 years, they made right choices. For 40 years in making right choices, because they had the judge to look to, they had the blessings of God upon their lives. 40 years. But then he would die. And the people would forget. Can I tell you, New Testament Christianity, do not allow the influence of our deliverer to fade away. Every judge was somewhat symbolic of Jesus Christ, our deliverer, our example to look to. Do not allow the influence of our deliverer to fade away. Galatians in chapter 2 and verse 20. New Testament Christianity, there's one Savior. There's one example for Christianity to follow after. Now, there's a lot of leaders in the churches and godly people. I'm not saying, but Christ is our judge. He is our deliverer. Galatians in chapter 2 and verse 20. I love this passage of Scripture because Paul says, he writes, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, Christ's presence is to live on through every born-again believer. And when we do that, it'll make a difference in our homes. It'll make a difference in our churches. It'll make a difference in our society. Every born-again believer has that responsibility to be a witness, to be Christ-like. And as we give ourselves to that, the influence of our deliverer will not fade away. It'll not fade away. Not for some 2,000 years now. The reason that Christianity is strong is because there have been those that have allowed Christ to work through their lives, and the influence of Christ has not faded away. Israel's failures are our failures today. Back in Judges chapter 2, and I'm almost done, not going to be long tonight. Israel's failures are our failures. Judges chapter 2 and verse 10 says this, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation. All the generation under Joshua that served the Lord as long as Joshua was alive, which Joshua could be looked at as the first judge, but he wasn't, as far as the Bible talks about the judges, but his example was the same. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. They failed to pass on their faith to their children. They failed to allow the deliverer to work through them, to influence their children. Wow. Parents, it would have been they approved of a different way to acknowledge God. Somewhere down here, there's another generation. So this generation that knew Joshua or that knew one of the judges and was following the judge, whether it be 40 years, when their children were coming up after the judge died, they failed to continue to influence their children the way they were influenced by this deliverer. And when the children wanted to go after the gods of the Amorites or the gods of the whateverites is out there in this new land that they failed to get rid of, because they failed to get rid of them, their gods would be a hindrance to the nation of Israel, as we've already read to see that. And so when the parents, when they failed to influence them, when the children wanted to go after other gods, then they in their mind says, well, as long as they're in church, I guess it's all right. Sound familiar? As long as they're serving some God, it'd be better for them to not be serving any God. And so as long as they're serving some God, then it's all right. And it's not all right, because you were there to influence them for the deliverer. Christianity is here to influence their children and the next generation for Christ, not for some other false religion, not for some other way to worship God, but for the cause of Christ. They proved of a different way to acknowledge God. Worship. They proved of a different way to worship. There's only one Bible. There's only one plan for worship. It's God's way. It's what the Bible teaches. Parents, how can we allow our children to go off on their own and get away from what you know to be Bible and not use your influence and everything that you have at your disposal to keep them serving Christ? This is what we ought to learn from the book of Judges. A cycle. And the cycle will continue today. But the judges made a difference. When they had the influence, it made a difference. They eventually forsook the Lord and served Baal. Look what it says in verse 12 and 13. Because of this next generation, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, which followed other gods, small letter G gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, letting the people of the land have more influence on them than their own parents, in what should have been influencing them for God, the only true God. Brought them out of the land of Egypt, followed other gods and the gods of the people that were around about them, and bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. This is not pleasing to God. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Religious perversions and moral pollution is what was taking place every time. You start reading it, you go through it. The gods of Baal, moral pollution. Brought morality down to humanistic mentality of an animal. And forsook the teachings of God concerning morality, and what's holy and righteous. They started worshiping, as they call worship, religious perversions, not after God's plan and God's ways. Now, in closing tonight, I want you to see what Paul writes to the church at Ephesus. The church at Ephesus, chapter 1. Because this is what you're going to find when you, next 300 years of the history of Israel, and we are to learn from that. Recycling continued. You think they would learn, but they continued to do the very same things over and over again because people are apt to sin. And the only time that they didn't is when they were influenced by the deliverers. In Ephesians in chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul writes and he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." It's only in Christ. It's only in the God of this Bible. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." That's God's will. Hasn't changed. Israel was to be holy in God's statutes and in God's laws and God's ways. We are to be holy doing things God's ways today. "Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ." There's only one plan of salvation. It's not through religion. It's only through Jesus Christ. "To himself, according to the good pleasures of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace." God's grace. Praise the Lord for it. His grace and his mercy, "wherein he hath made us acceptable in the beloved. in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, but we have the grace of God for the children of God. When we repent of our sin and confess and forsake our sin, God will cleanse us and restore us. But we have to choose to do that. And you're only going to choose to do that if you're under the right influences. Yeah. No one has ever confessed sin that did not come under conviction of the sin. And if they never hear sin preached on, they'll never have the conviction to turn away from it. Wherein, verse 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. He's given us this wisdom. We can have the wisdom of God. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. We ought to understand the will of God. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Praise the Lord for this. This is the blessings to look to. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. This is all the blessings that are associated in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You see, it's up to the church, as we studied in Sunday school this morning, it's up to the church. God has given the church the responsibility to hold to the truth. Amen. The word of God is the truth. The church is a pillar and ground of the truth. Amen. Church has got to stand to that. In whom we heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest. If you're saved here tonight, you have the earnest of God inside of you that proves that you're saved and that you have eternal life to look forward to, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Oh, how we need to keep the influence of our deliverer in front of all those that we can influence. Amen. Our families, our churches, our society. People need the influence of Christ. If they're going to do right and turn away from sin, they have to have the influence of our deliverer. And every born-again believer is to let Christ live through you to be an influence to everybody that we come around. Yeah. Once we turn from God, there will be judgment. But if we turn back to God, there's blessings. Amen. As you go through the next 300 and somewhat 27 years of history and looking to the nation of Israel, these two biblical principles will continue to just stand out. First, we all have a sin nature and we're all apt to sin. There's not a one of us that are not susceptible to sinning. If you can make wrong choices, everyone here can make wrong choices. You got to choose to make right choices. We're all apt to sin. And the second principle is the judges, the influence of our deliverer makes a difference. Let's let us, every one of us, allow Christ to work through us to be an influence to everyone we're around. Amen. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. 300 years of history, and that's what it's telling us. This is what we learn as you study the book of Joshua and Judges. If you want to get that down, if you want to understand that biblical principle, read that over and over. Just continue to read it. It'll baffle your mind to see how could they continue to cycle this very same cycle over and over again. And yet it's exactly what will happen to mankind as we fail to let God work through us and keep the influence of Christ before humanity. Father, we bow before you tonight. We love you and thank you, Lord God, for loving us, for the opportunities we have to serve you and to allow you to work in and through us so that our world might have the influence of Christ. And I pray, God, that we would be committed, first of all, in our own lives, in our families, in our church. We make a difference as the judges made a difference in the time that they lived. Now continue to bless in this invitation tonight. Help each one to make whatever decision you have them to make. In Jesus' name we pray.